Good morning, brother.
Morning.
Just reading this morning is taken from Psalms, the 86th chapter. I'll be reading verses 8 through 13. Psalms 86, 8 through 13. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Thank you, Nikki, for that reading. Yes, for those songs and gone for that prayer. If you remember with us this morning, good to see everyone. Good to be here. We're all members of Life Church of Praise, have good Bible study, and we are just glad to be here. Or are we glad to be here? Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, the psalmist says. You know, the writer of this psalm is anonymous. It is believed to be an Israelite from the northern part of Israel. But we don't know a lot about the writer of Psalm 42, but I'm sure of this, that the writer of the 42nd Psalm never said, do we have to go to church today? The writer of Psalm 42 never said, do we have to go? How many times have you said that? We gotta go? How many times have you thought about it? We gotta go? How many times have you thought about it but not said that? You know, I think about that a lot. I mean, you know, how many Sunday mornings would it have been a good Sunday morning to sleep in? How many of us thought that? Man, I just love to sleep in. You ever notice when you go by the golf course on Sunday morning how good the golf course looks? Oh, it just looks pristine on Sunday morning. How about that restaurant that serves that Sunday a.m. special, the brunch, the breakfast, 6 to noon? I just know I'd love to stop in and get that. I know it's going to be good. And if you notice the rivers and the creeks, how good that water looks on Sunday morning. There's just an excellent bath there waiting to be caught. You ever think about that? You ever think about that? We have to go. I know that the writer of the 42nd Psalm never thought about that. And the reason I can tell you that is because of the context of the 42nd Psalm. It's about not being able to go to church. And at the end of verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? We sing a hymn based on the 42nd Psalm. I don't know if you know that. It's not in the book. As the deer pants. And what that song, what this psalm is talking about, it's about somebody weeping and crying because they can't go to church. Verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. When's the last time you cried? God shouldn't be here. Because you couldn't come to church. You know, if we're candid, and if we're honest about that, maybe today there's a lot more of why do we have to, than a lot more of why do we get to. Do we have to come, or do we get to come? When it comes to this whole worship thing, I thought about our blessings, that saying, you know, we need to count our blessings. Every once in a while it hits me. I have a lesson about that. And I thought a lot about worship this week. I thought about a lot about the lesson that I preached 2 weeks ago about the pew that you sit in, where you sit. And I put all that together. And I thought about worship as being a blessing from God. Have you ever thought about this worship, this assembly, as being a blessing from God? We get to worship. Not that we have to worship. Do you think about worship, about being one of the greatest blessings that you have in this life?
Now, to help you think about that, and to help you think maybe a little bit about how I've been thinking this week, what if you couldn't do this? I want you to think about that. What if you could not assemble and worship God here at this place? Have you thought about that? Now, there's a lot of reasons why that would happen, could happen. The state can make laws, pass laws, and say, hey, you don't have the right to assemble as we're doing right now. Could happen. There's flags going up everywhere that might come to that someday. But now somebody, I'm sure, would say, oh, I'd still worship, because if the law would cut us down, I'd still come to worship. You know, God's law supersedes man's law. We'd still worship. Yeah, we would. But we wouldn't worship like this. We wouldn't have worked in an open assembly like this. We'd have to take the first picture like they did, hide in basements and different houses, and in a secret way, we'd do it. What if you became incapacitated, where your health wouldn't allow you to come? You're sick, or you're just shut in. You're not able to come. If you really want to get weird about it, what if they found over there in goat country in another cave somewhere, where they found a manuscript that was bona fide, written by the Holy Spirit, the Hebrew writer, that passage we always use, talks about assembly. Hebrews 10:25, where everybody figures out their own interpretation of that and tells you how many times they need to come, and that doesn't mean come every time. And what if we found, and it said, hey, just kidding about verse 25 there. Hey, you really don't have to come. It's no big deal if you come or you don't come. What if a new revelation was found and somebody goes, well, hurry up. No more church on Sunday. I could dig that. I like that. That's going to be great. Are you sure about that? Are you sure that would be great? You know, what if you would lose and have lost in your life the blessing of worship? What if that happened to you? How would your life be different? How would your life be different if you didn't come here? How would your life be better if you didn't come here? I want to think about that. I want to give you three reasons that I think we need to be thankful. That we need to get to come here. We get to be here. First reason, I probably spend most of the time, I think it dominates everything about worship, and that's the idea that when we come to worship God, when we come together like we're coming together, we have the opportunity to glorify God. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. A lot of times, when you talk about that, you talk about this church jargon. You hear people say a lot. I didn't hear people say a lot. Oh, I just want to give God the glory. Just want to give God the glory. What does that mean? When you hear somebody say, I just want to give God the glory, what does that mean? What are they talking about when they say that? What is that when we give God the glory? Well, we need to consider the glory of God. Sometimes, when the Bible speaks about the glory of God, it really just talks about God manifesting His presence. Remember that amazing cloud in the tabernacle, Exodus 40? That was God's presence. That's the glory of God that was being shown. We read about that in Ezekiel too. Turn with me there to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10. There was idolatry going on in the temple. So Ezekiel sees the vision. Look what he saw in verse 18. He says, then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. He sees the glory of God. So the glory of God here, really, if you think about what the scriptures say, it's synonymous with God. That's what that means. Alright? But that's not the only way, when you look in scripture, that the Bible describes the glory of God. Alright? In any way, God is glorified when you look at scripture. It's what really the whole Bible is about. Turn to Numbers. Turn to Numbers. I want you to notice in chapter 14, God's purpose in creation. Look at verse 21. We're going to pile on some scripture here, so just let's go with it. Let's just do it. Numbers 14, verse 21. He says, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with what? The glory of the Lord. All right? That's God's purpose in creation. All the earth would glorify God. The whole earth glorifying God. That's what creation does. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. Notice what creation does. God's word says, notice verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So creation is designed to do what? Give glory to God. And worship is a huge part of giving glory to God. Alright, let's go to First Chronicles. Actually, what this is a psalm that's written by David, chapter 16. I want you to notice. We're going to notice a number of verses here. Let's look at verse 10. Psalm 16, verse 10. Glory! Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Alright, now look, verse 16, I'm sorry, verse 24. Turn the page. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Alright, look at verse 29, 28. He says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord what? Glory and strength. David's writing there. Look at verse 35. They say, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather to us, deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name and glory, he says, in your place. All of that just tells us that the central component of worshiping God is what? We're going to give Him glory. We're here to give Him glory. We're here to glorify God's name. Yes, the Bible uses the word glory, the term glory, to give us a visible picture of God, to visualize, signify God's presence. But even more than that, the Bible is using that term, the glory of God, really to summarize who God is. Glory sums up who God is. And so God's glory is what? It's His awesomeness. It's His splendor. It's His power. It's His majesty. It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's His perfection. All of those things, all that is God. All that is God's glory when you look at the Scripture. And when we glorify God, what are we doing? We're worshiping God. We're honoring God for all that He is, all that He's done. We're proclaiming the real God. We're proclaiming the real might. We're proclaiming the real power, the real God who created all things. That's what we're doing here. We're worshiping God, that God. It means that we're appreciating that. We're honoring that. And we're giving God the honor that is due God and God only. That's why we're here. That's why we're ascending. And that's really the essence of worship, isn't it? That's really the essence of why we're assembled here today. To worship God. We do that in the supper. We proclaim God. We're thankful to God for what He did, giving us His Son to die for us. We do that when we praise God in our song. We acknowledge who He is in our song. We build that up. We give God the glory when we praise Him. We honor Him by listening to His Word. Being read, we respect that. We honor Him by listening to God's Word proclaimed. We honor Him when we change our lives and make application to His Word. We honor Him when we give. Why? Why do we give? He's the first giver. He's the one that gave it all. And we honor God by being here and doing that. We're here today to give glory to God. In fact, the very word worship, our English word, actually just means worthy. That's what that means. I think of that song, worthy, worthy of praise, Christ my Redeemer. Worthy of what? Glory, honor, power, worthy, he said. Worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy. Worthy of that. In a very real way, all of our life is designed to give glory to God. But you know what? In this situation, here, in this assembly, we have an appointed time in worship that's very unique. It's particularly focused. It's in a particular environment. And when we're assembled like this, and the atmosphere, and the activities that we're doing, this is the highest possible level in all of those things. Everything in our busy life is out. This is what it's all about. This is why we're here. put all those distractions aside. We're focused here today to honor and glorify and praise and worship God. That's why we're here. What could do that? What if you couldn't do it? You know, you've been to Grand Canyon. Wow! Imagine, if you would. You're standing at the Grand Canyon. I'm going to tell you something about that place. You know what? You feel about this big. Huh? This big. It's so big. You feel so little. It's so glorious. Hey! Would you just, here's the park ranger. You can't say nothing about this place. What? I'm a Grand Canyon. No, don't you say nothing about how wonderful it's put. No, well, I'm just going to get the picture. You can't take any pictures. Don't you take a picture. You don't get to show anybody anything about this. But what do you mean? I'm the Grand Canyon. Doesn't matter. I've got to tell somebody about this. This place is so glorious. I can't believe it. What could work with God? Folks, we've received so many blessings. We have received the forgiveness of our sins. We have the Word. We have brethren. All the material blessings that we have. What if you couldn't say it? God, you're awesome. Thank you, God. What if you couldn't say that? What if you couldn't proclaim that? What if you couldn't give God the grace, the glory, and the praise that He so richly deserves? What if you couldn't do it? I want to sing His praise. I've got to tell somebody how amazing God is. He's delivered me. He's helped me. He's answered all of my prayers. He's given me so much. I want to talk about God. Why? Because He is so glorious. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And it would be such a loss. We couldn't do that. We could fly so much. I said so much about worship today. You know, what said about worship and giving God His due, His honor. It's so twisted by our society. We have such a mean society. We have a society that everything is based on what it does for me. And that's what people say about church. You know what? Hey, thanks for inviting me, but I just can't do the church thing. Do you hear that? I hear that all the time. You know, it just, you know what I can't do the church thing? It just doesn't do anything for me. It just doesn't do anything for me. You know, being there, it's just boring. It doesn't do anything for me. I think about that. Do people talk that way when they go to see somebody in the hospital? You got somebody in the hospital? You know what? I'm going to say something about it. The hospital just don't do anything for me. They just don't. You know what? It's all icky and there's germs everywhere and I just don't. I won't go. I don't go to the hospital. How much does it get there? I mean, really, you don't want to see somebody in the hospital. It's not about you. It's not about you. And you know what? About God. Our worship is about God. This isn't about you. It's about praising God. It's about giving God the glory. It's about giving God the honor. That's why we're here. This isn't about you. We're here to say what we must say. I need God, and I need to give God the glory. I need to recognize who He is. I need to recognize what He's done for me. I just want to say, God, thank you. That's why we're here. The reason I spent so much time talking about that, I want to tell you something. The reality of worship, the reality of being together, I'm going to tell you something. We need to do that. You know that? We need to do that. Someone says, well, you know what? Well, a couple weeks ago I said, hey, you know, I want to say, everybody goes to church. You know that? Everybody goes to church. 2 weeks ago I said, what, 30% of the people went to church? That's not right. But I want you to hear that. Someone in Acts chapter 17. Paul has something to say about that. Acts chapter 17. He's at Mars Hill. I want you to notice verse 22. Paul stood there in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you're very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, Paul says, this is what I proclaim to you. Everybody worships something. I'll say that again. Everybody. Everybody worships something, and that goes back to the meaning of worship itself, and it means worthy. Now, we're all looking, all of us, the entire planet, all of us are looking for something worthy of investing our lives in. We're all looking for something that is bigger than ourselves. All of us are. All of us have that in us. That's what's going on now. That's why they're building idols. That's why people have idols today. That's why people have idols in their hearts. Why don't they just give that up and become atheists? They can't. No. Verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries and their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. They're seeking God, wanting God. Folks, we're made to worship. We are made to worship God. We're made to seek God. Isaiah talked about that. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I've made. The prophet speaking there talks about everyone calling out God's name. We're made to do this. We're made to worship God. Think about that. Now, what happens when you're not allowed or you don't do what you're made to do? You know that dog we got over there? He's abandoned. I'll say this. My truck is an inanimate object. Now, I don't think my truck's going to be mad if I don't start it all week. Do you? It might even talk back to me and say, hey, the check engine light's off for 2 hours if you did that. But I felt my truck for a month wouldn't bother my truck. Now I get back to my dog. That's a black Russian Terrier that we have. He came from Russia. And the breed is real new. There wasn't a black Russian Terrier in America until 1990-something. Anyway, we love dogs. I love that dog. And there's 17 different dogs in that dog that made that breed. Okay? A lot of dogs are wandering around here. It's about the 157 range. Anyway, when we're all in the house together, the kids, the grandkids, Gene, everybody, or wherever we're at, and that dog's there. Now, I don't know what's in that dog, but I'm going to tell you, I know shepherds in it. Sometimes shepherds, and I stress the word shepherd. Because if we're all in different rooms, that dog, he just thinks, I'm telling you what, he just goes and goes. Goes in the kitchen, goes with him, goes downstairs, goes to the bedroom. You know what I'm doing? He's hurting. He's hurting. And that's just in him. That's in his DNA. And he's not happy. When we all finally get in the same room, watching the ball, whatever we're doing all together, you know what he does? Lays down. He's all happy because his job's done. That's what he does. That's pretty cool about that. That's just who he is. Now, we're not animals. But there are things that are in us that are hardwired in us. And it's in our DNA. Now, if we don't get to do that, if we don't get to do what we're hardwired to do, what happens to you? Well, you just pay. You're uneasy. You're unsure. Alright? You're uncertain. You're uncomfortable. And I think about that. Can you describe a better way than that? That's how our society is. You know why our society is like it is? They're all looking. It's in them. They're uneasy. They're unsure. They're uncomfortable. They're all pacing. They're not settling down. Because they know there's something bigger that they haven't found yet. That they're not doing yet. I've got a down quote by Augustine. It's on the human condition. It's talking about people that are looking to worship God, looking to find purpose in their life. He says, you have made us for yourself. You hear that? You have made us for yourself, O Lord. I agree with that. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. We must worship God. We need to be here to worship God. It's how God made us. And we'll be restless, we'll be uncertain, we'll be uncomfortable, we'll be uneasy, we'll be pacing until we worship the true and living God in the way that God wants us to. And you know there's a blessing in that walk. Well, we're here and we're thankful to be here because what? We're worshiping the right God. We're worshiping the Creator. We're worshiping Him in the way that He wants us to worship Him. We know that because of what His Word says. None of us are wondering if what we've done today, God, I wonder if God will accept it. No, God will accept it because He said He will accept it. We can have confidence in that, trust in that. We're not wondering if what I'm doing is good enough, if what I'm doing is pleasing to God. Maybe this just isn't it. No, we're worshiping God in a way that truly glorifies God. That's what we're doing here. We're doing that. We're worshiping Him. It's just the right way. And we can have confidence in that. And you know, just that. Look, that's a blessing. To know that when you come in here and offer worship to God, that what we say and do and practice will be pleasing and acceptable to God. How many places can you go that you know that that's going to happen? How many? Where you want to go and get that? Now, I've said so much about worship not being for us. I don't want to leave the wrong impression. That it doesn't do us any good at all. I want to tell you very quickly that if we do not worship, that we find out very quickly that if we don't assemble like we should and like we're authorized to do, I think we've lost the foot. We're not really sure who we are. You know, in San Francisco, however many, if nobody went to Grand Canyon, probably never went on out to San Francisco. But in 2009, there was a building that was built called the Millennium Tower. I wanted to say millennial, but it's Millennium, the Millennium Tower. 59 stories high. It's a bright, shiny, beautiful building. It's a place where very, very wealthy people live, the condos, the apartments, whatever you want to call them, millions of dollars to live there. And the amazing thing about that building is, after everybody moved in, after the construction, people started noticing cracks in different places and different things. And people couldn't get their doors shut and different things like that. Well, come to find out what happened with that building, and think about that, this is San Francisco, the earthquake capital of the world. The architect and the construction guy, the guys that built the place, they never went drilled clear down to bedrock. They never went to rock and drilled on down, which means that 59-story building is on sand. And that means that a lot of millionaires are losing their equity and all that and everything that they invested in that place. But at the base of that place, it's off 2 inches, and at the top of it, it's off about 14 inches. If you're leaning that much, your foundation is done. You know what's wrong with that place? It's not anchored. That place is not anchored. Look at Isaiah again. Go back to the 6th chapter. Let me tell you something in Isaiah. It says really a lot about worship. In the days of King Uzziah, verse 1, chapter 6, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having 6 wings. 2 He covered His face, and with 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of Him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then He said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, and he had taken from the altar. You know, he sees the glory of God. Isaiah sees the glory of God, recognizing and seeing that. Worship God. Verse 8, here I am. Send me. Now look at verse 5. Woe is me. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. When we worship God, we glorify God. And what you see very clearly when we're here together and worship God, you know what you get a picture of? Yourself. You get a picture of yourself. Because when you see God, and when you see all that God is, and when you see all that God has done, you see what you are, what you're not. You see what you're not. I'm not God. I'm not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around me. I'm not holy. I'm not glorious. I'm not any of those. I'm not pure. So now I'm able to anchor myself to those real truths. When I worship God, I see who's running the universe. And I'm not running the universe. Want to see that again? Luke 18. No one mentioned this guy this morning. A couple of those two guys, they go up to pray. One guy that's, one of those guys. The other guy's a tax collector. You know the story I'm talking about. Let's look at it. Verse 13. But the tax collector, Luke 18, 13. The tax collector, standing some distance away, was not even, he was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but he was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and worship. What happened to him? He came to understand who he was. He's at worship and he realizes who he is. How can we live any kind of life if we do not have these foundational truths of who we are and where we came from and where we're going? How can we relate to anyone, even ourselves, much less to God, if we don't have these foundations in us? How can it be? Being in God's presence, in worship service, it centers us. It balances us. It anchors us like nothing else. And in all candor, when you think about it, you think about the prophet Isaiah, you think about this guy here in Luke 18. How often do we have that kind of careful reflection in your life? How many times a week, how many times a day do you reflect on the things that we said this morning? It's so easy. It's so easy to get busy out there. It's so easy to get wrapped up in where you're going, what you're doing, what you got to pay, what you got to build, what you got to sell. It's easy to do that. And what happens? We end up getting caught up in our lives. And then we end up getting caught up in social media, and we base our self-worth on how many likes we got. We base our self-image on if everybody liked a video or the picture that we sent out in the big world. We begin to build our self-image on what we can buy, the car we have, the house we have, how much we have. And we begin to do that, and then we come here. We come here. And men gather around this table. And they pass emblems around. And then you really see what's important. And you really understand the foundational truth of what it means to come to this place and sing praises to God. To offer prayers to say, He is mighty and powerful, can change my life and everybody's life that's in my life. And you look at His sovereignty, you realize all of that. We hear His word proclaimed. That's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through every bit of pride. It cuts through every bit of foolishness. It cuts all the vanity to pieces. We stop glorifying ourselves when we're here. We see and we know what's important when we're here. And these acts of worship were anchored to the fundamental truth of reality itself. Who we are. What is real in life? We find that out here. Hope where else can you do it? I want you to think about where else you can do it. I'm going to tell you what you do all week. You get the sand shovel out. Yeah, that plastic orange thing, got that green bucket. You just skim the surface, put that sand in that bucket all week, blow with the guys who work, blow with your neighbors. It's all surface. There's not a place in your life where you are digging deep, but right here. No other place. No other place in your life. Do you dig deep and find out what's real with you? No other place. But right here. Get the big shovel out. Each and every time we offend it.
But what if worship was forbidden?
What if it wouldn't be allowed? What if our civil liberties were taken away? What if you were incapacitated in such a way that you couldn't come here? Well, I don't have to go anymore. I'm shut down. Got the excuse. Don't have to go. You know what? It's been my experience, people in my life. The people that I go see sometimes that will never enter those doors again and worship God. That's not what they're thinking. If I could just come one more time. Oh, I miss coming here. I'd just love to come one more time. And that's the psalmist in Psalm 42. Crying because he does not get to come to worship. The heart's done. So maybe it's time we change our thinking about this assembly and coming to church and being here. You have to come. Folks, it's a blessing. You get to come. You get to come. There's no place like it. Please get your songbooks out. You'll never hear this anywhere else. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You'll have eternal salvation. If you obey the gospel today, you repent of your sins and immerse in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll be saved this day. If you've not done that, you're lost. You stand in the public way and want to make that right, we'll pray with you. Please come. That's together we stand and pray.